I wanted to explain the series. Originally, it was going to be 1 week. It's now two. When we planned it, the idea behind it, it was quite a while back. The thought was that COVID-19 and all the issues related to it being the rearview mirror. Obviously, that was incorrect. Now, if you watch NFL football today, you will disagree with that. It appears that it's over completely. I'm just going to give you a few data points about it because some of this has surprised me. We're averaging the last 7 days 148,000 new cases or infections with COVID. We've lost 670,000 with COVID-related issues. That's a lot of people gone. In the last 7 days, we've averaged 1,900 people dying from COVID-related issues. In our country right now, 54% of the nation has been fully vaccinated, 64% have had at least one dose. In Virginia, 59% fully vaccinated, 67% at least one dose, and in the last 7 days, we've averaged 770,000 people getting a shot each day for it. I just didn't expect it. Just a real quick thing. I support vaccinations. Becky and I got ours. I understand that there are some people that are really hesitant, and I understand some of the reasons for it. It just takes talking to a few people. You can find out some are concerned to have health issues that it could be complicated with and some things they're not sure about. And there's some that have heard some things from people that have a voice that have, I mean, everything from it's got nanoparticles in it and the government could eliminate those of us they don't want, or it's going to track us. And, you know, there are these things that float around and people hear it. Some are concerned that it was born from fetal tissue, from abortions. For me, I fully support the vaccine, not because one person told me. I've gone to a bunch of doctor friends and nurses and I've asked them personally. There's so much information that floats around. So for me, I sifted, I've talked to people and people that I trust, and I have a confidence in. I think everyone should do their own homework for it and investigate carefully. But apart from this whole vaccine thing and what COVID has done, the last 18 months have just been nothing but turmoil. And no one has escaped it in our community, in our nation, in the world. Work has changed dramatically, and for many of us, it will never go back to where it was. This whole hybrid thing is there. But you know, the folks that had the ability to work from home, there are a number that couldn't, that had to be right in the midst of everything going on, and it's changed our idea of work. Family and friends, relationships have been significantly impacted. There are people that were distant and really glad about it, and some that were distant, and it has just crushed them. Some that got to spend a lot more time with people, and they grew closer, and others grew a lot further away because they had to spend so much time with people. It just fractured things. You go back and you look at the political stuff that's gone on in the last year and how everything gets turned into some kind of a political weapon, everything. We've had racial turmoil starting with, it had been going on before, but it was exacerbated by George Floyd's death. We had elections last fall that were anything but pleasant, and we had the storming of a Capitol and still trying to figure out what happened there. Virtual school, some people loved it. For many people, it was a lost year of education. Parents are trying to figure out, what do I do? How do I do my work while I'm trying to help my kid stay engaged? And how do you get a first grade boy to stay in front of a computer for any length of time, unless it's a game? It's tough. In the midst of it, we have masks and the whole thing of masks. I won't get into that, but that's been weaponized for, you know, it's a social statement. You're either a lemming because you wear them or you're ignorant because you don't, and are all kind of stuff that goes with that. We've had challenges in front of us economically and educationally and all these other ways. And we haven't escaped it. It's just here. This is what we get to deal with. And it's an opportunity, and especially for those of us that are followers of Jesus, It's an opportunity for us to let God work in our life so that we can see what he can do and he can prepare us for the work he wants us to do. He wants us to learn through everything we go through. He wants us to develop. He wants us to become more fully devoted to him so that we can recognize just how good he is, but also be used by him to make a difference in the world. If we embrace the challenges and the trouble and all that comes our way, we can be guaranteed God will take care of us. But if we choose not to, if we go another way, we prove the adage that those who fail to learn merely just learn how, and they perfect how to fail. And those of us that are followers of Jesus, everything we go through is an opportunity to see God work. Everything. And I'm afraid too many times that gets missed and we follow another tune. So what I'm going to do today, I've switched a bit. I'm going to give you one lesson from COVID, but the first thing is how to learn. How to learn when whatever's going on with you, when things are going good, when things are not going good, especially in this case, how do you make sense of what's happened the last 18 months? The mark of spiritual maturity is continued learning. Then if you ever meet anyone that seems like they've arrived, I'm telling you, they haven't. Until this life wraps up, we should be continually learning and growing in our relationship with God, our understanding of what he's like, our understanding of our purpose here, and how we can love and care for the people around us. There's never a time where to stop. There are a lot of times when we pray, we're the center of attention. I'm going to give you a prayer that I would encourage you to memorize where being the center of attention is really helpful. If you look for the word me and my in this one, this is really powerful. A lot of times our me and my prayers are all about what we want God to do for me right now, and it's more self-centered. This is God-centered, but it's focusing on us. Listen, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." This would be something you and I regularly do. I was driving somewhere yesterday. I was on 66. And there was a car in front of me on the far left lane. I'm not going to get into all the problems with that when you're going slow. But the problem with this car is that they were taking two lanes. They would be in their lane, and then they'd come over into the other one. About a third of their car would be in the other lane. And I'm riding behind them, just wishing I could get by them, but I couldn't. And I caught myself having a lot of insight about the person driving the car. A lot of thoughts that, you know, were possibly correct. But it dawned on me after about 5 miles, and it felt like 50 miles, that I wonder what I might be doing. I wonder if my blinker's still on. I wonder if there's anything I'm doing. It's easy to focus on this person because they're driving like a knucklehead. But what about me? It surprised me, and I have to believe that was the Holy Spirit because I wouldn't do that to myself. And God, he really wants you and I to search our hearts. Let him have his way to show us. It's so easy to look at others. I've been around some people. I've talked to quite a few people about this, and there are a bunch of us that over the last 18 months have discovered or rediscovered really being connected with Jesus. I mean, really falling in love again with the Bible and understanding what God offers and learning to pray in ways that they hadn't before. Some have done our Bible reading plan and prayer night and have just been energized by it. They've started spending daily time with God. The church online has been a lifesaver for many people. When we were able to open and able to come back, just realizing how privileged it is to have Christian family. There's some things about that that have helped people get their faith stronger and because they've allowed God to kind of sort out things within them. When we do that, we'll grow. Spiritual maturity comes by continually learning and growing. The mark of immaturity spiritually is just resisting change. You and I know plenty of people that are angry and they're bitter. They don't trust anybody. They've retreated. They've become very insular. Another evidence of spiritual immaturity is whining and complaining. You know, we think of that with a three-year-old that someone got their toy. But when you're a 30-year-old doing that or a 60-year-old doing that, it is uniquely unattractive. And it's just a sign of immaturity. God wants to use difficulty and trouble and trials in my life and yours to help us grow and develop in ways that we won't when things are comfortable, when things are easy. I'm going to give you a verse that you don't see this on many t-shirts and you don't see it on many posters. People don't put it on a post-it note and put it on their dashboard or their bathroom mirror. But listen to this. They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returns to his vomit, and another says a washed pig returns to mud. We don't like that one. Let me give you a little bit of history on it. Right now, most of us, when we think of dogs, we think of, you know, a little fluffy that we have at the house. And pigs, we think of like emotional support pigs. There was a story a few years back. Someone was flying, I think it was Southwest, and they had an emotional support pig. They just hadn't told him it weighed 300 pounds in first class. They've changed the rules since then. But when we think of dogs and pigs, we don't think, I mean, at the time this was written, dogs were really mongrels. They were feral. And they would go through trash. They would do whatever they could to survive to the point where they would eat their own vomit. Pigs, you can wash it. My grandfather raised pigs. You can wash a pig. You can put a bow on its head. But it can't wait to find a mud puddle to wallow in. And what it's saying here is that when you and I are unwilling to learn and to grow and to trust God in the midst of what we're going through, we were just like a dog that goes back to its own vomit or a pig that keeps wallowing in the mud. It is foolishness, but that's what we've trained ourselves to do. Immaturity, quite honestly, is a whole lot easier than growing. The problem is the fruit it bears is horrible. It's so much easier to point out the fault in others and how they drive and how they do this and that rather than looking at our own self. And God, search me. Help me to grow so I can be available for how you want to use my life. Everybody, believers and unbelievers, encounter trouble and trials. Now, you can find books and you can find seminars and people tell you how you can avoid all of this in your life. I can save you some money. This side of heaven, you and I are going to endure trouble, difficulty, trials, illness, all this kind of stuff. But followers of Jesus understand this, that every one of the difficulties we face is an opportunity to grow and to show our faith. Every one of them. The choice is ours, what we'll do with it. And I want to read this passage and I want to take it apart for a little bit because this is, unless we have this nailed down, there's not any lesson we're going to learn. We might hear it. We might be able to spout it off, but until it's actually become part of my life, I'm not going to change in a healthy way. James 1, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity to whine and complain with loud wailing. If you watch many of us, this is what we've turned this around to say. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He will never say, don't you get it? Of course, leave me alone. He'll never do that. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave in the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So here's just a few phrases in this, and I hope that in the take-home sheet will help you take this apart. You can spend a half an hour with this, and I think it really will have an impact. This opportunity for great joy, this is not masochism. When trouble and difficulty comes to mind, it doesn't mean I have to say I enjoy going through pain. I enjoy difficulty. The joy comes from knowing I don't go through it alone, and I know God will not waste it. If God really is in control of our lives, if he is our number one allegiance, then we have every reason to be joyful. That song we did a little bit ago, it has, I am who I am because the I am says. God has never, ever been willing to be one of our loyalties. He is either the one loyalty or he's not. And this I am, it was just a matter of, he doesn't compare himself to anyone. He is the God, the creator, sustainer of the universe, and the one that gave us a Savior that we desperately needed. If we get this, and we are convinced that we have his attention no matter what we're going through, we can have joy regardless of what's happening. I don't have to enjoy the circumstances of the situations, but I can enjoy the fact that I never go through it alone and it will not be wasted. Endurance. Most of us don't want to pray for endurance. We want to pray for circumstances that do not require endurance or patience. Endurance, in this word, it's two things. It's hanging in through difficult circumstances and hanging in with difficult people. And by the way, some of you are some of those difficult people. I'm on some people's list too. God wants to build that in us. I don't build endurance. Some of you work out and you go to the gym, and if it's called resistance training, if you lift weights. If you don't have any resistance, you're not going to gain anything. And in our life, there's going to be this kind of thing, these things that happen. Difficult people, difficult circumstances, God wants to use it to build endurance in you and me. And it goes on to say that we can be perfect and complete. The word, it just means to be mature, to become a spiritual grown-up, fully developed. The immature do this. They whine, they complain, they compare, they judge, they ghost when things aren't going the way they want to. They retreat into their own world and they focus so much on me and mine. It's exactly what we expect with two-year-olds. It's not what we should see in followers of Jesus. If anyone needs wisdom, it says here. The word wisdom, it really means it's not just knowing facts and figures. It's not just knowing historical context of what the Bible says. It's understanding what the Bible teaches and how to apply it into our life. It actually, the word wisdom really could be taught, you could say skillful living. It's taking the truth and doing something with it so that my life now matches up with what God has said. This idea of having divided loyalty, either God is number one or I have a divided loyalty. I've got other allegiances and they compete in a way that just crush it. God is unwilling to be number two to anyone or anything. And when we have a divided loyalty, when we're not listening to God but listening to all these other voices, kind of window shopping, it makes us unstable. And the image it uses here is this idea of a wave tossed and turned by the wind at the sea. And you know what it's like when you go to the beach or when you're trying to fly a kite. Wherever the wind goes, that's where it goes. Some of us are exactly that way. We follow our emotions. We follow the latest news that we hear. Rather than really thinking it through and trying to gain wisdom and asking, God, will you help me understand what's going on? We can't wait to jump in with an opinion. So we have these half-baked ideas a lot of times. And that's not what the spiritually mature do. And God wants you and I to grow and develop. He wants us to be people that are tapped into him. And that's going to make us outliers in some cases. Sometimes it's going to mean that we're going to be labeled certain ways that we don't like. But our number one allegiance should be to follow Jesus, no matter what it takes. And if we miss that, what's going to happen in our world? What's going to happen to those people in your sphere of influence that are looking for some light? They're looking for some hope. They're looking for something good, something they can count on. Troubles and trials and difficulties and all this, they can show us some things that are good. They can show us where we've gained strength and where we've gained maturity, we've gained resolve, and we've developed character. But it can also squeeze some things out of us too that show us that we've got a lot of areas to grow in, a lot of ways to learn. I know some people will say, well, trouble just makes you stronger. Well, not really. It can. But trouble can just make you bitter too. It can make you angry. Trouble reveals, just like if I squeeze a balloon, whatever's in it eventually is going to come out. And so God's trying to show some things to you and me. He really wants us to understand. So what I'd like to do, I want to take one lesson, and I'm going to give five more next week. I want to give one lesson from the last 18 months. This is the one that has stayed in my mind more than any of them. It is easier to stake out a battleground than it is to search for common ground with others. I don't know what news you all listen to, if you even listen to it anymore, if you watch or whatever, but everywhere you go, there's battlegrounds being formed. One of the theories in raising political money is that good ideas seldom raise money, but an enemy can. So if I can get you upset with somebody, I can get you angry, if I can get you divided, if I can get you going against somebody, there's a real good chance your wallet's going to follow with that. And so in so many cases, when you see political ads, it's very little about new good ideas. Sometimes it's that, but it's usually, well, if you support me, you're not supporting that knucklehead or this idiot or this fool or this person that's going to send us over a cliff. Finding common ground doesn't mean we ignore differences, but it means you and I as followers, we have a purpose that's bigger than proving a point. When we started New Hope, there was one passage that has guided us from day one. 1 Corinthians 9, second part of verse 22 and 23. Says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. I try to find common ground with everyone that thinks just like I do and believes just like I do. That's how we've rewritten it. The word everyone here means everyone, even those that are diametrically opposed to what I believe is true and right and good. You know, this finding common ground is not simple, but it can be done. Let me read it one more time. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I can't save anybody, but I am God's partner in helping everyone around me understand more about who he is, how much he loves them, and what he offers, and what can only be found in a relationship with Jesus. This idea of common ground means I'm going to have to spend some time and not just focus on differences, but I got to look at something that we have in common. And you know, you have something in common with everyone on planet Earth if you look hard for it. You'll get around someone that has a completely different view than you do about something. And if you dig deep enough, you're going to find there's some motives there that you have in common. You may completely disagree with the application. But too many times, instead of having conversations with others, we immediately judge them based on some external things. And we forget that God wants us to do hard work to build common ground, even with our enemies. Jesus did it. We're doing our Bible reading plan, and you over and over, and again, you see how Jesus I mean, at any point he had the power. He wouldn't even have to snap his fingers. He could vaporize every one of the Pharisees and Sadducees that are out to get him. And he didn't. What are we going to do? And this idea of everyone, we have become so comfortable with our own little huddles, our own little tribes. And the longer we do that, the more we just look out at others and we label them as others. What would God say if you were to take this and make it a prayer? God, help me to find common ground with, you fill in the name, so that I can be used of you, maybe to help them come a bit closer to understanding who Jesus is and maybe commit their life to him. And it says at the end of this, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. There are some things you and I will never experience until we've been a part of letting God have free access to us, to guide and direct us even in the most uncomfortable areas, so that we can be used by him to help somebody get closer to crossing the line of faith. Anything less than that, and we are off track. So my prayer for us this week is that all of us will recommit ourselves or begin to commit ourselves to being learners and to grow. And let God have his way so that we don't have to repeat the same things over and over again. We can develop, we can mature, and he can use us to make a difference in the world that only his church can. When the church is strong, we have a huge impact we have for generations. And when the church is weakened or distracted, there's an enemy that wins and so many people that lose. I don't want to be part of that. I hope you don't either. Let's pray. God, this idea of learning and growing sounds really good until we realize the areas in our lives that really need to change. There are things that we need to get rid of, things we need to strengthen, things we need to really evaluate strongly. Most of us need people in our lives that will shoot straight with us to help us see those areas that we've allowed ourselves to be blind to, where we've built these patterns of relating that are so unhealthy and hurt those around us, hurt us. Some of us just live defensively. We've bought into what our culture has said over and over again, rather than coming to you and asking you for insight and guidance, for wisdom. I pray that you would help each one of us before this day's over to ask you to search us, to see if there's anything in our life that is troubling you, disappointing you, limiting our impact. And that we would humbly listen and be willing to move toward changing. I pray for our church that we'll be a church that, as you see us, you see a group of people that are ready and active and will do whatever you say. We'll give of our time and our talent, our money, our influence, and have them all at your disposal. The opportunities are huge. The need is enormous. But nothing is too big for you. Please help us. And help us to do something now. For your son's sake, amen.